Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the internet. We are back. The last three guys to not get the coronavirus. No, wait a minute. That's somebody else. No, we are the last three guys. We are the last three guys to do a podcast. John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Daniel just got back from Biloxi, Mississippi, and he actually won some money. So it's a good day when you leave a place like that with more than you came in. So good to see Daniel with that. And so we're going to open it up by Daniel. If you could make a before you left, if you could make a sports bet, what would you do? What would you make?
Oh, that's a tough one right now. Because it's funny because when we were in Biloxi, my wife was asking, "Were you going to make a bet on the Final Four or on the NCAA championship?" And I said, "I'm a man who can't do that yet because I have to see how the brackets shape out.
Yeah,
we don't know how this thing is going to go.
And now it's so chaotic. I mean, this is probably the craziest." Regular season of college basketball in recent memory. Hard to believe it we are on the tail end of things. There's only about a week in some cases left, but we've had multiple number ones. It seems like a number one, it goes down every week. About the only thing you can say... go ahead.
Yesterday, I think seven out of the top 10 teams went down.
Right.
So it was just crazy, including Florida State and Duke. They all went down and majority of them went down to unranked opponents. Baylor went down to TCU yesterday. So it's just been crazy.
And Duke went down for the third straight time to an unranked opponent on the road. So Duke...
Interesting. That will affect their seeding, I believe.
Oh, yes. Yes, they'll probably be a three or a four now. I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen. We still have the conference tournament. So really about the only thing you can say with any certainty is that San Diego State's going to get a one seed, probably in the West, provided, of course, they run through the Mountain West Conference Tournament down in the Orleans Arena in Las Vegas next week. They'll probably get that number one West seed. And the other seeds, you know, Baylor, Kansas probably will get them. But, again, they have to survive their conference tournaments to hold on that. So, really, it is anybody's ball game. And that is what makes March so interesting because you really don't know how things are all going to shake out. So, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. Again, the small conferences, their conference tournament will be this week. For the big ones, the Power Fives and the others, you got to wait until next week for those to go. But, yeah, it should be an exciting time. Looking forward to it. Hope to be able to scratch out a little piece of my schedule on the evening side to watch some of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. So other than that, Daniel, would you put money right now on a 2020 Super Bowl pick? 2021 Super Bowl pick.
No.
No.
Nope. I sure wouldn't. I wouldn't, not until after the draft.
Right.
And, I mean, Kansas City, you know, I think they'll open up as the favorite.
Yes.
Because of, I think they'll have majority of players coming back. I don't think they're going to lose really any top-heavy guys in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be the sexy pick to pick. But I don't think, the NFL is so wide open these days too. I mean, you never know. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a repeat champion, so that's going to be tough to say. But I mean, listen, if I was a gambling man and my life was on the line, and I would put money on Kansas City to win it all next year again.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I think we should make more fun bets.
Yeah,
like for example, putting up, you know, where Tom Brady will land next year. Will he stay? Or what are the odds of him landing up in San Francisco? If San Francisco gives Jimmy Garoppolo back to New England,
yeah,
does he? You know, some people are speculating. Well, you know, Dallas. Well, no, I speculate that Tom Brady is married, and he has a wife who would more than likely, if you're going to leave New England of your place of comfort and stability for the past 20 years,
mm-hmm.
we're moving to L.A.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or, you know, when I say with San Francisco, Tom Brady is from the San Francisco area. Why not be the storybook ending to an illustrious career by retiring a hometown or a home region hero and sticking it to Jimmy Garoppolo and telling him what I could do with your team if, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking. So, you know, some people are saying, well, he could go to Tennessee. No, he's married and his wife isn't moving to nobody's Tennessee.
No, he's not going to Nashville. It depends on how much into country music he is, but I don't think it's that much.
Right. So, you know.
Yeah, right.
I don't think he's going to Nashville. I don't think he's going to Las Vegas. I think when all is said and done, he'll be right where he is, New England.
You think it's New England?
I think it's New England. I don't think he's going to go anywhere else. I think he's happy there.
I think he's going to have a swan song.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Robert Kraft can get all sorts of dollars behind one more year. Yeah, I think he's going to do whatever it takes to keep him in New England for that last year. And hopefully draft his successor in this draft and start grooming him for the fall 2021.
If I'm Robert Kraft, I mean that's storybookish,
mm-hmm.
and I like it because it's three players I guess in history who I could see I could see Tom Brady leaving, you know, retiring a Patriot. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Derek Jeter retired a Yankee, it just made sense.
Yeah.
Just like Kobe retired in the Lakers, it just made sense.
Right.
You know. That sounds like the more intelligent way of thinking,
right?
You know, if I'm Robert Kraft, and you know, I feel him, but I'm like, hey, if you want to leave, and then that's the opportunity, you know, to add a wink and a nudge to Bill Belichick, like, you know, you guys, how long do you want to? Would you like to continue the brand of the Patriots and winning? If I'm the Patriots, I lean towards Tom going to Frisco. And them releasing Jimmy Garoppolo
and him coming back,
because you got to think about it, that gives a large, that's a 10-year starter,
right?
And that's 10 more years that you could potentially dominate your division. I mean, if you're Robert Kraft, I mean, I know the storybook ending sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Tom does retire, he will retire a Patriot, but at the same time, you're looking at, hey, I'm looking at the longevity of the matter,
right?
And though the fan base they may not like it for the first year or two, but you know they'll grow to appreciate it for the future. So if I'm Robert, which I'm not,
mm-hmm.
if I'm Tom, which I'm not, and if I'm Jimmy, which I'm not,
mm-hmm.
I consider that. You know, I consider going to San Francisco, which you have a loaded offense, a very capable defense. To make a Super Bowl run, you know, with New England, I mean, I just don't. I think that window right as of right now, based on where the Chiefs are, based on who would have thought the Tennessee Titans? I mean, my goodness, they're really a factor right now.
Yes,
you know, they're in the conversation. No one's seen that coming, but they're a quarterback away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on what's going on, you know, and, you know, if you look at the behavior patterns of the Patriots, the reason why he's even in this situation is because the Patriots are trying to Cleveland Cavalier him like they did LeBron James.
Right.
By pretty much, you know, using him as a means to sell tickets while not putting quality talent around him so he could go off and, you know, make that next step into a potential another Vince Lombardi trophy.
Right.
So, you know, either way it works, but in my, you know, in my universe, if I was Tom, that's what I would do. And if it works for everybody. Everybody gets what they want.
Hmm.
To a certain degree.
Interesting. That's a definitely interesting take on the situation. Again, like I said, I think the Patriots have to draft if the Patriots will know what the Patriots' mindset is in that April 23rd draft in Las Vegas. Excuse me, whether or not they make a quarterback selection with one of their first couple picks. Again, they're going to pick way down in the first round. QB might not be there. They might have to just take a flyer on somebody.
Yeah, I mean, there's people out there, you know, give Andy Dalton, give him, I mean, you know, that's not much of an upgrade. They get Phillip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there.
Right.
He has something to prove.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have options, but not long term options. If you're looking at the long term, if you're thinking like a chess player, I go with Jimmy.
Right.
You know
that might. I mean, I get the idea, but that might be way too hard to pull off. I don't know if they'll be able to do that.
No, I don't either. I mean, I said, yeah. It's very hypothetical.
Yep.
They can always go out, if Tom goes out there, say for example, if Dak Prescott gets so disgusted with Dallas and their lack of financial mobility with him, then Dak can wind up in a New England uniform potentially.
That's an interesting thought too, because we know Dak is going to sit out. He's going to want his money.
Oh, he's going to want it
on this contract. And the question is how much will Jerry Jones give him? I mean, we already knew with the Ezekiel Elliott situation that Jerry's not too keen on paying what he feels is overpaying for a player. He's not going to bust out his purse strings for people. So we know that, and that's got to affect Dak's mindset just a little bit, knowing what Jerry's going to do, how Jerry's going to react. And of course, you know, they got the whole new coach situation as well. So the fact is, you know, Dallas is there's a lot of turmoil over there in Dallas. It'll be interesting to see. Again, we're way too early right now. The combine is going on, which I guess is the official, unofficial start of the 2021 season. 2020-2021, you're going to have the league year opening, and that's going to be in March, where you can go after the free agents and the draft, and then the draft on April 23rd. But you were asking me something interesting. You're asking me if I had watched any
XFL.
Any XFL. And to be honest, I really haven't seen much of it. Maybe stuff there and there, here and there, you know, just depending on what's on. The interesting thing about that, not only is it just everybody mic'd up, but they have the element where you can get, where on an extra point, you can take three places from it, and you get points based on that. Like, there's one where you get 1 point, then you back it up 10 yards, you get 2 points, and then you back that up further, you get 3 points. That's kind of an interesting little novel approach to it.
So the way it is you line up at the 2 yard line to get a 1 point score.
Right.
You line up, if you want a 2 point conversion, you line up at the 5. If you want a 3 point conversion, you line up at the 10. So there are no field goal extra points. Like, there are no extra point kicks.
Right.
But you can still kick 3 points. And so you can be down by 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tie the game with a touchdown and a 3 point score.
Right.
So I think that element, and actually I actually like that element. I mean it's something that separates the NFL from the XFL. And I don't think the NFL should adopt it. I think it's just something that the XFL should do, and the NFL should just leave alone.
Yeah.
Do we see the NFL adopting any of these rules in the future?
Oh, probably not.
Adopting what?
Maybe miking everybody, but I doubt anything beyond that.
Especially in light, especially in light of the recent controversy with Myles Garrett Mason Rudolph. You know, I think miking everybody up could be, you know, a bit of a benefit. It could prevent a lot of issues in the future potentially.
Well, you got to be careful. I mean, yes, you're going to mic everyone up, but you're not going to, of course, not put their audio out. You're just going to have to listen to what they're saying, and then, you know, it's just another way and I don't think the players are going to go for this. Not if they know that every single thing they say is going to be stuck into a server somewhere. But I see where you're going. I mean, we'll know whether or not Miles was justified and Mason, you know, did utter what he was accused of uttering.
Yeah, if I'm the NFL, I'll leave that one alone. Everybody, you know, pretty much, Miles got reinstated. Mason will move on with his life, you know.
Probably with another team. I don't see him going back to Pittsburgh.
Especially in light of the season that they had.
Yep.
Life will go on, you know. But it's been a lot going on. You know, we have the NBA right now that is, we have a tad bit of March Madness going on with the recent resurgence of the Houston Rockets. You know, their little experiment is working for the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, many are looking at them as being maybe top five in NBA,
right?
Potentially the third best team regular season wise. But I believe that at the end of the day, you know, that's a team that will not be judged ultimately by how they do in the regular season. I mean, we've seen both star players for each team, being James Harden and Russell Westbrook, have enjoyed every single regular season accolade that they can possibly accomplished from MVPs, triple doubles, averaging every year. I mean, my goodness. Right now we're looking at, can James Harden get over that Western Conference Finals hump and get to an NBA Finals, which I doubt.
I doubt it too.
And can Russell Westbrook actually get out the first round without Kevin Durant? I don't know. I'm pretty sure he can. I think they could do that.
Yeah, that. He'll at least be able to do that. But I don't think. But he's not going to get to the finals.
No, I don't think so. You have to rebound him. You have to rebound and play a lot of defense in order to get to the finals. Mm-hmm. And you know, just this week, speaking of James Harden, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, I mean, just really just threw a major shot at James Harden, stating that during the All-Star game.
I thought it was the other way around.
I see where you're going.
Go ahead. I see where you're going.
Giannis, who is like 7 years younger than James Harden, I believe, said that whoever James Harden is guarding, that's where the ball goes. I mean, now, mind you, now, James Harden is a future Hall of Famer and has been doing it since Giannis has not been in the league. I mean, we're looking at James Harden has been performing at a high level within NBA for, I give it, for the past 6 years now.
Yep.
And for Giannis to come in, this hot shot youngster to come off and somewhat disrespect James Harden, like, I mean, Giannis hasn't even got his max contract yet, has he? Is he even he's eligible for the first time coming up this year?
Yeah, probably.
For his Supermax, which he will get.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to say such disrespectful words at James Harden, I mean, that's just, oh, my goodness. And I believe that James Harden's clapback was justified. Like, hey, man, I'm 6'5". I can dribble with the best of them, and it takes skill to be who I am.
Yes.
You're just 7 foot, and you play the power game. You can't do what I could do.
Right.
You know, so the question is this between you guys. If you're going to start a team, are you going to run with Giannis, who got swept the worst way you could possibly get swept? I'm talking about he was up two games and got swept anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like the disgusting sweep. You got the sweep.
His team just went.
Yeah, they figured it out. They figured him out.
Mm-hmm.
Realized that he was a one-trick pony last year. I'm pretty sure his game has evolved this year. He made adjustments. But based on what we've seen.
Right.
You know, you're up 2-0, and you pretty much got, you know, blank 4-0'd. And I would rather just get 4-0'd altogether, just the front door, but he got disgustingly swept. So, that's never happened to James Harden.
No.
So, you know, who would you start your franchise with? Would you run with a James Harden-ish type player, or would you run with Giannis type player, guys?
I'd rather go with Giannis at this point.
So, despite everything this is mentioned, you're like, I'm running with 7 foot.
Yeah, I'm running with 7 foot. And look, and you're right. His game has evolved. Look where the Bucks are standing right now. They're 52-8. I mean, they are just stomping through everybody in the Eastern Conference. They've got a 9.5 game lead on Toronto, which is number two right now. These Bucks they've got something to prove. Now, of course, all that depends. You know what is going to happen in the postseason. Right now, they'll be playing, you know, probably either Brooklyn or Orlando in that first round because there is a five-game edge between the two of them on Washington, and those two are 9 games behind Indiana. So right now it's going to be Milwaukee versus Brooklyn and Orlando, and that other team will probably either play Toronto or Boston in the first round. So I like Milwaukee against Brooklyn. I like, you know, anybody against Brooklyn, to be perfectly honest, from those top eight. So they'll get out of that. I think Milwaukee will get through. I think they got something to prove this season, and it's just a matter of what happens when they get to the finals and play the Lakers.
Uh-oh.
Or the Lakers, or, you know.
You got to write the first time. That's a good call, John.
Yeah.
We running with Dan.
So what do you got? Daniel.
So I agree with everything John said. Look, I would pick Giannis, but there's one point about picking Giannis over Harden. Listen, they both can score. They both can get to the rim. They both can put the ball in the bucket. But Harden's defense is still suspect.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the point.
That's the problem.
Maybe he said it a little untactfully, but his point is still valid. Mm-hmm. His point is still valid.
It's valid.
If when you're a seven-footer.
And I don't mean that. Right.
When you're a seven-footer, all you have to do is get in people's faces. And you want to make that middle a no-go zone for the opposing team. When you're Harden, you're guarding people on the perimeter. And you're right. Letting them get those shots.
And here's the thing about Harden, too, guys, and it's not necessarily that he can't play defense, because I've seen him play some good defense. He takes off on certain possessions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Giannis taking off on possessions. I don't. I see him play every single possession like it's his last. And with Harden, I see him take off on possessions, especially on the defensive end. You know, it's funny because in the 40s, of course, the great Ted Williams was probably one of the greatest hitters of all time, right?
If not the.
But he hated playing in the outfield.
Oh, he would love.
Like, he did not like playing in the outfield. I mean, he would tell you straight up, but he loved hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harden is a guy who actually works on his craft and works on how his shot, how much of a better shot that he could have,
right?
In the course of time. So that's what he works on. And I don't know who's to say he probably does work on his defense, but I mean, I'm not saying that he's a terrible defender, because he's come a long way from the last 3 or 4 years. Now, he was a terrible defender then, but, I mean, come on. He still takes time off. Listen, Harden is as good as it gets, man. And when he has that ball in his hand, he is hard to stop.
Right.
But Giannis brings a different element to the sport. And it's like you said, John, that team is rolling right now. And why are they rolling? And a lot of people are saying, oh, man, we don't trust Milwaukee, this, that, and the fourth. Let me tell you, man, it's not about X's and O's about with this Milwaukee team right now. They are angry.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, Leon, last year they were up 2-0, and they faltered to Toronto.
With no major injury.
I mean, a meltdown like we had never seen before. Yeah. You've never seen a meltdown. Well, I mean, not since the Thunder, not since the Thunder melted Golden State.
Right.
When they were up 3-1. But we haven't seen anything like that quite since, especially in a conference final. So they are feeding off of that. They're channeling that emotion, and the leader that Giannis is becoming, his teammates are channeling off of his emotion. Man, they're playing like they got something to prove here. And listen, I don't see anybody in the East stopping them right now. I mean, Toronto may come close. Boston is a factor. Those are the only two teams that I can see probably giving them a run for their money. And they're going to probably end up meeting each other in the East semi. Yeah. So one of those two teams will probably give the Bucks a run for their money. But right now, I just don't see it happening.
Man, I'm going to be honest.
And it'll be against the Lakers. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't believe that Milwaukee has what it takes to make it out the East. I'm not going to lie to you. And it's not because of Giannis. I believe Giannis is everything you guys just described and more.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy.
Yes.
But their weak link as far as on Milwaukee, it would, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Hawks. You know, you're like, what do you see in common, Leon, with the Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks? I don't see it. Well, you know who the weak link on the Hawks was before they got Jeff Teague? You know who the weak link was? I know Daniel knows. A guy by the name of Mike Bibby.
Okay.
He was the weak link. Now, Mike Bibby was a great point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could shoot, he could pass, there was this one point guard during a 2009 during 2009, was it? The year that
might have been 2009, yeah.
Yeah. Went off and took Mike Bibby's lunch. Talking about Jameer Nelson.
Right.
I mean, he just tore through the East. Like, it was nobody's business. And Mike Bibby was a casualty. And that was the last year that Mike Bibby started. I believe in 2010 you guys got Kirk Heinrich.
Yep, I remember Kirk Heinrich.
Which,
from the Bulls.
Yeah, was that he was able to stop Jameer Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then afterwards, from Kirk Heinrich, the Hawks end up getting Jeff Teague, who was able to hold it down defensively. When you look at Eric Bledsoe last year got his lunch taken. He got lunch taken by Van Fleet and Kyle Lowry. The year before that, he got his lunch taken by Teddy Rozier. Okay, Teddy Rozier. I mean, he was coming to the game with a Drew Bledsoe jersey on, saying he doesn't even know who this guy is. I mean, I remember it was so bad that after Boston beat Milwaukee in 2018, was it? Was it 2018 or 2017? 2018, mm-hmm. Drew Bledsoe was at the podium giving at the answer question at the interview process. I mean, it was hilarious. That's how bad he made Eric Bledsoe look. And I'm like this. Boston has another dynamic point guard. They have one. I believe that he might be a little better of a team player than Kyrie.
Yes.
I'm talking about Kemba Walker.
Right.
If you couldn't, if Teddy Rozier took your lunch, Kemba Walker is coming for lunch, yeah. Breakfast, and dinner. I'm not lying to you.
He's gonna take the cookie.
Oh, he's gonna take it all. So you know that's their weak link. You know, it's Eric Bledsoe. So you know, Giannis is going to do Giannis.
Yes.
Giannis is going for 30 and 15.
Mm-hmm. And he'll get it.
Yeah. But no one's going to be able to take it from him. They could hope that the best right. They could hope for with Giannis is the fact that his mid-range and his jumper past the three-point line is not falling. But that's the best they could hope for. But it's going to be up to Eric Bledsoe to stop the opposing team's point guard. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it. Now, Eric Bledsoe was a great point guard. I mean, this guy is dynamic.
Right.
But it's just that, you know, when the chips are on the line, he has not delivered.
No.
So, that's where I'm at with Milwaukee.
Well, we got to talk about what's going on in the West because the Memphis Grizzlies have fallen way down in the pack, and now a couple of teams that were not sniffing playoffs are suddenly sniffing playoffs. I'm talking New Orleans. They're 2.5 games out of that final playoff spot. San Antonio, 3 games. Portland and Sacramento, 3.5. Even the lowly Phoenix Suns have got a little bit of life. They're 5.5 out. Can Ja Morant get Memphis over the hump and try to right the Grizzlies ship? And they got a big game coming up this weekend with New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, the New Orleans played tonight against the Lakers at 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock, right. Big game for the Lakers. I mean, big game for the Pelicans because they have really got to start and get this thing going. Really, with Memphis, they got a just terrible road record. Under 500 on the road, 12-17. They're 4 of their last 10.
I believe yesterday. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, and I think we would have had to see this coming, especially with Zion Williamson coming in to the, coming into the fold of things. Now he's got his legs together, and he could be a dominant force. Man, he could really single handedly lead this team to the playoffs this year. I think with Ja Morant, of course, he's going to be the rookie of the year. He is something spectacular to watch, but he doesn't have the team that Zion has around him. Zion has an all-star in Brandon Ingram with him. He has a potential all-star with Lonzo Ball with him. So that team, once they started to gel together and they put Zion in the mix, that team could be an 8 seed, maybe a 7. And I think they'll catch Memphis. That's just me personally. Yeah. You know, I would love to see either one of those teams play the Lakers. You know, you got two young Bulls who's going to be the future here in this NBA going up against the King, LeBron James, in the first round. That's something that I think we would all love to see. Either one of those teams would be fine with me. But I think that if the Pelicans can just stay consistent and they catch fire at the right time, I think they'll get in.
Yeah. Let me tell you. We witnessed a blowout last night. Could you believe that the Memphis Grizzlies blew out the Lakers?
I mean, John Morant had 27 points and 14 assists. He was a grown man in that game.
Yeah.
LeBron had 19 and 10. It's like the Lakers couldn't get anything going.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Lakers, I'm a Laker fan.
Yep.
If anybody didn't know. Who would you rather see? You rather see New Orleans Pelicans with Zion, Drew Holiday, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball. I mean, these guys don't like the Lakers for very good reason.
Yeah.
You know, you have Zion who's on the path of having just as good a rookie year as LeBron James did, though he did not play as many games as LeBron James did, but he's just maybe not as dynamic as LeBron James. I mean, he's dynamic, though, but, you know, either way, who would you rather see if you're the Lakers? Now, the basketball purists want to see the New Orleans Pelicans versus the Lakers. But if you're the Lakers, would you rather see the Memphis Grizzlies or would you rather see the Pelicans?
I probably want to see. Yeah, I probably want to see Memphis.
So therefore, if you're going to lose, if you're going to lose on purpose, and I believe that's what happened last night, So I'm keeping it real. I'm going to be honest with you.
Do you think they were just they kept it in another gear knowing they had New Orleans on the back end of a back-to-back?
Let me tell you, they threw that game like Nolan Ryan threw that punch at Robin Ventura and let him ride the kisser on the, in the headline. They threw that game for real.
I mean, I love that video. Because the part, I mean, this is an aside, because at the start of it, he's just punching him on top of the head. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm hitting the batting helmet here. This isn't working. Let me go underneath that last one.
Yeah, boom. Right.
Right the kisser.
Oh, yeah. Man, you know, Lakers threw that game last night. When are you going to see the Lakers lose to the Grizzlies like that? I mean, we've owned the Grizzlies all year. Come on. Because the Grizzlies are – they want to keep the Lakers are trying to do their part in keeping the Grizzlies at the AFC. And they want to keep New Orleans away.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the Lakers to all of a sudden turn the switch on automatically and just smash New Orleans tonight. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, they're not going to – they don't want to see – it's just like – it kind of reminds me of the 2000.
Man, where's that game going to be at? Is that at New Orleans?
Tonight? Yeah, it's at New Orleans.
It's at New Orleans. So that's going to be demoralized. They got to demoralize. They got to demoralize these young punks. This is being real. That's if you're the Lakers, you do not want to see. You don't want another 2010 Oklahoma City versus the Lakers series.
Right.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I like who.
Yeah.
That scared me. I mean, Derrick Fisher cannot guard a young 2010 Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant was this young future Hall of Famer that I just didn't want to see in the playoffs. I mean, we got rid of him, but it wasn't easy.
Uh-huh.
And when I look at it, if you're LeBron, you're going to have to really play defense because you're going to have to guard somebody. And the Pelicans are going to be, they're foaming at the mouth. They're going to be angry. You know, I think the Lakers will win the series anyway, but it's going to get ugly.
Okay.
So if I'm the Lakers, you want to smash – the Pelicans, you want to just crush their little spirits. You want to, you want to go off and make Brandon Ingram even more upset at you. It is what it is. You'll see him in the future.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to get rid of these guys because I see just like the pups haven't grown fangs yet,
mm-hmm.
but they're growing them.
Right.
They're growing them. So, yeah, that's my take on that. That's what's going to happen. That's what did happen. I believe that the game was thrown last night on purpose.
Well, let's put it this way. Maybe not thrown, but their best effort wasn't given.
Right, right.
They did not give 100%.
They lost by 30 points to the Grizz. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it. I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm just speculating that's what did happen.
Okay. And we'll see.
Allegedly.
What kind of effort that they'll put forth here tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans. Another thing I noticed is that Steph Curry is supposed to be back on today with his coming back from his injury. That's going to get pushed back a couple more days. You know, at this point, if I'm Steph Curry, I was like, you know what?
Do you really want your name on this season?
That's it. I'm just going to take the rest of the year off, and I'm going to devote myself to getting back in shape for 2020-21.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing for nothing.
He should do the same thing.
You're playing for absolutely nothing.
You're playing
for absolutely nothing. You're buried at you're buried in the bottom half of the standings. You're 13-47. You know, just say, you know what? I'll just come back next year and be 100%, or maybe 105%.
They have the worst record in the NBA.
Oh, right.
Man.
They have the worst record in the NBA, and that means you're going to get the number one pick next year.
Well, you're going to get the most ping pong balls. You're going to get the most. You're going to get the highest chances for the number one pick.
Oh, wow. Really?
So,
well, I think they'll get it. I mean, I don't know how it ends up that the worst team in the league always ends up winning the draft lottery.
Right.
But.
Right,
but, you know
they'll get. I mean,
they'll get a top two pick.
And who's
the number one pick?
Who's going to be the number one pick? Anthony Edwards, Ant Man from Georgia.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible because I don't know I'm not sure if the boy from North Carolina, Cole Anthony, who was actually regarded as one of the one pick in the draft. I don't know if he's coming out this year. You got Isaac Bouke from Kansas, who is a tremendous inside presence. He could be fighting for that number one spot. But right now, I would have to say Anthony Edwards because he's probably the most dynamic player that would be coming out this year.
Yeah. You know, people are talking about Giannis potentially winding up with Golden State. I don't think he has the personality for it because, you know, Giannis doesn't even work out with other players during the offseason, let alone would he want to. So I'm thinking to myself, if he doesn't even work out with other players, what makes you think he want to team up with other players?
You know, I'm just saying. I don't. I mean, it would be a. I wouldn't like it because I'm a Laker fan. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm thinking to myself like, I don't think he wants to do something like that. If he doesn't even, you know, because a lot of these guys in the offseason, they'll go off and play pickup ball together and everything like that. They hang out. They'll probably, you know how LeBron is. You know, he's Mr. I'm nice to everybody guy. Giannis ain't like that.
No.
I don't want to even play with you guys. I'm thinking to myself, he doesn't even want to play with you guys in the offseason. What makes you think he want to play with you guys in the regular season? You know, that's that old school. You know, like I said, look at the comments he made about James Harden.
Right.
A lot of people speculate that's how people feel and like that. But he just went off and went to the media. Like, man, anywhere the ball goes, anybody he's guarding the ball is going.
Right.
So this is the guy who doesn't even care about making friends with you. And I like that.
Yeah.
In a competitor, I like that.
That shows that competitive spirit. Yeah, he's not interested in being your friends. He's just interested in beating you.
Right. I don't like you guys. I'm not working out with you guys. You know, I don't care. You know, I'm not trying to go to the barbecue. You know, I'm not trying to eat a piece of cheesecake with you. You know, LeBron, I don't even want to be on the same team as you. You know what I mean? So, you know, I could respect that in a competitor. You know, that's old school right there.
Yeah.
So.
I'm John Morgan alongside Daniel Bolton and Leon Brown. Daniel calling in on our phone line. He just got back from a well-deserved anniversary vacation with his lovely wife from Biloxi, Mississippi. Appreciate congratulations on your anniversary, Daniel.
Oh yeah, happy anniversary to the Bolton family.
Yes. Yeah, and the anniversary actually is,
well, it's the anniversary when you proposed
getting engaged.
Yeah,
I proposed on February the 29th.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. And he did it deliberately so that he only has to go out once every 4 years as opposed to once every year. That's exactly why he did that. So, Daniel, a very smart person on that one. We are the last three guys to do a podcast talking a lot of NBA, talking a lot of college basketball. Again, the March Madness coming up, and again, talking a little NFL in terms of the XFL and what's going on behind the scenes and the great quarterback shuffle. Let's switch gears a little bit. Major League Soccer, the Atlanta United, the Five Stripes, they had their opener yesterday up in Nashville, a 2-1 victory over Nashville SC. It was Nashville SC's first game as full MLS members, but even though Atlanta won the match, in real life, they really lost. Their main scorer, striker, Joseph Martinez, now out for the year with a torn ACL, and in Atlanta, all it seems is for one bad thing to happen and people are jumping off the rooftops, and that is exactly what we're seeing here. The Five Stripes won the MLS not last year but the year before, and right now people are just saying, oh gosh, there go our playoff chances, and it's going to be interesting to see whether or not that happens. But boy, Atlanta is really a soccer town. And right now, I think largely because of the success of Atlanta United, and boy, the wind just got blown out of their sails right out of the gate. And even though they did get the 3 points last night, it'll be interesting to see if they can keep their offense going and get some victories with their main striker out of the lineup for the foreseeable future. So, again, that'll be something we are going to have to keep an eye on.
Atlanta United, who would have been the most dominant sports team in Atlanta within the last 10 years?
And that would be soccer, yes.
Wow.
And I just kind of wish, you know, a lot of people would wish that Arthur Blank would push for the same amount of excellence from his other sports organization here in the Metro Atlanta area. But, you know, we got what we got.
Oh, Arthur Blank is actually the financial muscle behind Atlanta United?
Yeah, he owns the team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he needs to, whatever's going on over there, he needs to have going with the Falcons.
Exactly.
I mean, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Yep. Exactly. So, again, wish Joseph Martinez a speedy recovery. Atlanta United is back at home for their home opener at the Benz on Saturday. I think they're playing DC United. I'm not 100% sure on that. I believe that's the team that's coming in. Again, a lot of stuff going on. Again, we're talking about college basketball. Georgia State has just hit a three-game losing streak at the worst possible time. They are now fifth in the Sun Belt, and they have one more game left Monday, hosting Little Rock, and they desperately need a W, and they need things to kind of go their way to get up and getting their third and fourth seed. However, Little Rock is the one seed. They have clinched the championship and the title, the regular season title. At the very least, they will go to the NIT. And that might be an opportunity for State because, honestly, they don't have much to – Little Rock, the Trojans, don't have much to play for. Excuse me. And Georgia State is fighting for their lives again. We talked a little bit earlier about the format of the Sun Belt Conference Tournament, how if you are from seeds 3 to 10, you have to go to a 14 mini tournament, and then you have to go to New Orleans. In this case, I think South Alabama and Georgia Southern are the two – hosts. They have the 3 and the 4, but that could change at a moment's notice. I know Georgia Southern, they beat Georgia State a few days ago at the sports arena, and that really knocked the Panthers out. And I know the Eagles, that was their first victory in Atlanta in a very long time, I think almost 30 years. Definitely happy to send their heated rivals down the standings. But interesting in that, and, you know, We were talking to Gene Hill a couple weeks ago. He's the women's coach. Said, you know, don't fall in love with this format. It's going to change, and it looks like it will change. The Sun Belt Conference just signed an agreement for Pensacola, Florida, to move the conference tournament to that area starting next season. So we'll all be congregating in Pensacola on the Gulf of Mexico. It's actually an hour to the other side of Mobile. So if anything, South Alabama will get the kind of a host field duties. I kind of like it in Pensacola. I don't think anyone really cared for it in New Orleans, especially at the University of New Orleans. There was really no tie between New Orleans and the league. I mean, yes, the league's headquarters are there, but there's really no amount of kind of a local tie between the two. No schools go there. I mean, Lafayette and Monroe are Lafayette maybe 2 hours away and Monroe a little farther than that, or maybe Lafayette 90 minutes. But it just seemed like it easily got swallowed up in what New Orleans was offering. And I think in Pensacola, it's going to be a lot more community focused to have the tournament down there.
Yeah. It's a, you know, with the Lady Panthers, you know, It would have made a great story because you know, Gene, they actually won the game after we interviewed them.
Yep.
But unfortunately, you know that when, you know, Appalachian State and CCU.
Yeah, they went on a run, and unfortunately, the Panthers went to Texas and lost two games to UT Arlington and Texas State. Now they are the outside looking in. Top 10 teams get in. They are number 11th. Monroe, UL Monroe, they are definitely going to be 12th. They only have one conference win. Panthers have five. They do play Georgia Southern in their last game on Saturday. That's going to be at the sports arena. Southern has six conference wins. Texas State now with six. The only way I can see Georgia State getting into the tournament, they have to beat Southern and hope that the tiebreakers go their way. And it all depends on, you have to beat the high. It's a little nutty. It's determined by who've you've beaten. If you beat the number one team in the league, you're in. And if you, and whoever has that highest victory is the best way to describe it. And I'm not really sure where Georgia State sits in on that. They do have a victory against Little Rock, and that's going to help them in the standings, so it might just be where Little Rock winds up. But again, they have to beat Georgia Southern this Saturday in the sports arena to even think about getting a berth, and even then they'll just barely squeeze in. But right now I think Georgia State, again, is looking forward to next season. Jada Lewis has been nagging injuries all during the conference half. She has not even started the last few weeks. It's been a completely young lineup. All first-year players, although they're no longer, I think, first-year players, maybe hitting a freshman wall, as it were. I think right now Gene Hill's just kind of looking ahead to next season, get everybody healthy. The only player who's off this team, Allison Johnson, will probably not be back, even though she might be eligible for a medical redshirt, but then again, that's a whole other discussion. Really, the only player is Shaquanda Miller-McRae, who was good as a block shot, but never really had that rebounding edge. Not really a good rebounder, more of a good person to block shots, but in terms of a well-developed center, not really there. I mean, Georgia State, there's a direct correlation between how well they do and the presence of that inside post position who can give you 10 rebounds and 8 points a night. And that is what, when Georgia State women's basketball does well in the conference, and they really haven't had that this season. So they're going to try to get that. And the question is, can the games of Taylor Hosendove, Joelle Johnson, can they blossom and become that kind of player? What kind of player is Hannah Sadler, who's a transfer student? What kind of game will she bring to them? So really, they got to work on the middle. I think the shooting from outside is okay. Again, will Jada Lewis come back? Will she be 100% healthy? I talked to her a little bit during a couple weeks ago, and I kind of got the sense that she hadn't really made up her mind if she's going to return for her senior season. Hope she does. When healthy, she is a very dynamic player. They got Cameron Zayak, who is a very good three-point specialist. Let's see, Mariah Taylor has shown she can move the ball in the point. There's a lot of elements are there. It's just a question of whether or not that inside game is going to develop for Georgia State women's basketball. But again, that's about 6 more months, and right now we're still waiting to get into the NCAA tournament. Again, we are the last 3 guys to do a podcast. Still got about 50 more minutes before our time is up, and we can go catch that Zion Williamson and LeBron James battle between Los Angeles and New Orleans. We're in spring training mode. Grapefruit League, Cactus League games are underway. And Houston, the poor Astros, they are definitely being being fired upon. Maybe not as much as you would think, they are targets on their backs, literally and figuratively. I think right now, even though Rob Manfred said, hey, don't throw at them, I think right now, as Leon said earlier, I think the Major League justice is going to be administered in this instance. I don't think there's anything you can do to stop that.
Man, they're going to be marked men out there. They said when you said the word don't throw at them, that means the pitcher's going to start throwing at these guys.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Like I said, how long do you think it's going to last?
It's going to at least last for the first couple weeks of the season. And it's probably going to last each time they play a new team that they haven't played before. And you figure they end the season here in Atlanta for their only time to play the Braves. So I think in that last season, in that last 3 games here, it's Truist Park, they're going to get tossed at.
Man.
I think that it's going to go as long as Rob Manfred allows it to go. And who's to say how long that's going to be?
Right.
Listen, the league is clearly angry at the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we can sit here and we can have a whole show about why the league should and why the league shouldn't be angry. But you know, we ain't got that kind of time. But I really think that this is just a bad mark on this is going to be a bad mark on baseball.
Mm-hmm.
If you start seeing each team retaliate, each team that the Astros play retaliate. We know the NL West is the AL West. Excuse me. We know the AL West is just going to just.
Yeah, they're just going to tee off on them.
Going to try to eat them alive. Yeah, they're going to tee off on them, man. They're going to tee off on them. Now, riddle me this, guys. What if the Astros win the World Series this year?
Oh, God.
Would that be good for baseball? I'm just saying.
I don't think it would be good for baseball at all if they won the World Series.
Yeah.
And if baseball is governed.
We brought that up at work.
Yeah, I believe that everything is. I don't mean to sound all super hocus pocus and spooky ooky, but the baseball guys out there are going to allow that to happen.
Yeah,
you know, I just think the same thing happened with basketball. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, they stacked the deck so in such an unpopular way that kind of disrespected the game, that the game kind of, you know, that the field of injury. The injury bug, I mean, just swept the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, three of their three of their top five players were seemingly knocked out, you know, from Durant all the way down to Curry. I mean, they were set out. Now look at their now look at them now. They hope to even win 20 games this year. You know, so it, you know, when you disrespect the sport, you know, it's like a cause and effect. For every action and reaction, the sport will. It's not if.
Right.
It will disrespect you. And like you guys are just saying just now, I mean, are the Astros going to win the World Series? I don't think so.
I don't see them. See that happening at all.
Yeah, you know.
I think looks like, unfortunately, the Yankees are going to probably, with Gerrit Cole, they might actually be the team to beat. And we're getting to the point where we're actually feeling sorry for the Yankees because they haven't won a World Series in about 25 years. It's hard to believe we've gotten to that point, but we have. And the Yankees.
Yeah, they didn't win one in the 2010s.
No.
They did not win one this past decade. I find that hard to believe that the Yankees did not. It'll be the last time they didn't win one since the 80s.
Right.
Remember, the Yankees didn't even. I think they only made the playoffs one time in the 80s.
Right.
So, yeah, man, that's just really hard to believe that a franchise like that had won, 27 world championships. Mm-hmm. And just dominated the 20th century.
Not doing well in the 21st.
Been to a World Series.
It's very old for it. Yeah, they're pitching a bagel.
Right.
And during the 21st century. That's interesting. I'm pretty sure it's not going to last long, you know. But
The Yankees won't allow it to last very long. That's the whole thing. And I think, of course, Washington is probably back in the conversation to repeat. Braves, their pitching looks like it might be better, but I'm not sure about their offense. Losing Josh Donaldson, allowing him to re-sign with Minnesota, I think that's going to put a little crimp in things. They got a great core with Acuna and Albies. Question is, can that carry the club? Can they find bats some other places? Does Markakis have another year left in him? But no, I like New York in the American League. I like Washington in the National League. And of course, now the Dodgers, they've got something to prove. With probably some good thinking, they feel that they had a World Series stolen from them. And there's a lot to be said about that. Whether or not they have a valid point, they probably do in that category.
Yeah.
And maybe they're going to be strong because they got a very good pitching staff, because that definitely got an upgrade. They got Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, and they traded for David Price from the Red Sox.
Man, I was just about to ask you guys about that, you know, in reference to pitching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say the most dominant pitchers over the past 10 years, would you, you know, I like to say regular season. The reason I'm going to say regular season is because one of my guys, unfortunately, when it comes to the postseason, is he doesn't show up for whatever reason. And this is the guy you just mentioned, Clayton Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
But over the past 10 years, would you take King Felix, Clayton, or would you take Steven Strasburg?
I would take Steven Strasburg.
Yeah. And here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because Steven Strasburg has proven that he can pitch you 2 to 3 good games in a postseason.
Right.
See, when we talk about baseball and you talk about pitchers, it's all about what you do in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for King Felix, he hasn't been there. He was with the Mariners, and the Mariners just couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah.
The Mariners could win 40 games, and Felix would win 20 of those 40 games. He had no help around him.
Right.
So we can't base that off of Felix. And let's just face it, Clayton Kershaw is as good as it gets. He can get you 20 wins, but he can't get you 1 in the postseason. It's that simple.
Right.
It's that simple for him. He falters in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, you would have to pick the guy who just had an unbelievable postseason this past year in Steven Strasburg. You have to pick him.
Yep. Exactly. So that's the only reason why I would take him. And Felix Hernandez, again, he's now with the Braves, trying to be that fourth or fifth starter alongside Cole Hamels, as the Braves have done something. They're like, okay, let's see if 2013 will work for us. Yeah. Whether or not these guys who are dominant in their time, let's see if they have one good year left in them together.
Oh man, you took it from me again, John. I was going to ask you, do you think Felix has enough in the tank to channel some of that magic that he had during the early? Like,
I was going to ask John that same question. Yeah.
And Cole Hamels, of course, has come to training camp with a shoulder injury. He's not even pitching. They might have him ready for opening day. Whether or not they do or not, that remains to be seen. But, you know, the Braves have got some good young arms. They got Max Fried, who's done some things. I think they're looking upon him to be the ace. I mean, they got some good arms there. It's just whether or not between Fernandez and Hamels, can they get that fourth starter?
Yeah, they have a nice 4 or 5 guy rotation, you know, that could really help, you know. Hopefully they could, you know, next year say example, this year coming up, we get to some postseason, and, you know, do you still keep that 4 or 5-man rotation, or do you kind of slim it down a little bit?
Once you get closer to the postseason, you slim it down a little bit. Probably what happens.
Yeah.
And you can get away with it through the first month of the season because there's a lot of off games scheduled in the mix. Well, the Braves' problem is they start on the West Coast. They got games with Arizona and San Diego before they come back and open up Truist Park, formerly SunTrust Park, as they changed the name of it because SunTrust went through a merger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, again, that's the big problem with the Braves. They're just going to be starting on the West Coast with those games with Arizona and San Diego. And at least they don't have to go back there. For the rest of the season, knock those out of the way a little bit early. And, yeah, of course, due to the unbalancedness of the whole thing, they're going to play Houston on the last weekend of the regular season and not an NL East team. So they're just going to be sitting out that pennant chase for that last weekend. All right, we are the last three guys to do a podcast. I'm John Morgan with Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. We're getting close to wrapping things up because right now, as I said, the game between Zion and LeBron is going to take place in about 10 minutes. We got to make sure we get out before then so we can sit down and enjoy those two guns go at it.
Absolutely.
So
looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be fun. Want to talk to you for a little bit about an interesting thing. As I said, we were talking about the NCAA basketball season winding down. March Madness has started, and it's no surprise that a team that will be sitting out March Madness, not having a game at all, quite possibly just finished the worst stretch in a men's basketball. And the ironic thing is they defeated Reinhardt. Of course, it's the Kennesaw State Owls. They wound up 1-28, and the game with Reinhardt didn't even count in their final standing. So truly, they went 2-28. The only team they beat, that would be a 24-point victory over Gardner Webb way back in December. So they got swept in their conference, the A-Sun. They are 0-20. They're 0-16 on the road, only 1-10 at Fifth Third at their Coliseum, their Convocation Center. They have lost 20 in a row. And right now, even though they got a very good class coming in, but right now this is just a team that really needs to take the old and just put gasoline on it, burn it, whatever you have to do to just get the negativity out of it. You know, the calendar turned to March and they are done. They are hopeful. They are gladly done. They just want this thing to be over. And hopefully we wish the Owls the best of luck next season. Because, boy, they definitely need it. I'm looking over these results from this season. Most of their games wasn't even. I think the closest game might have been a 72-66 loss to Lipscomb. They're all double figures. Very rarely do they get into the 60s. They just need this season to be over and done with. I mean, if you're 0-10, 0-12, you're just playing out the stretch. These guys were playing out the stretch probably in February.
When is that?
And John, yeah. If you remember, John, the game that we called, the Reinhardt-Kennesaw game that you and I went and called, that game was closer than what the score was.
Oh, yeah, it was. They only got that 15-point lead at the end by hitting foul shots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If Reinhardt don't miss those three-point shots, Reinhardt possibly gets an upset or is closer than what the scoreboard actually indicates.
Right. Right. So again, Kennesaw State, they're done. Thankfully, now it's time to turn the page, and they want to forget this as much as possible. Tyler Hooker was their leading scorer, 13.5 points a game. But, boy, they really need to retool everything in hopes of that maybe next season. Maybe not challenge for the ASUN title, but at least get back to near respectability. And Hooker, a redshirt senior, so he is out. But they do have some good freshmen coming in. Jamie Lewis from Wake Forest, C.J. Washington from Tompkins. Of course, Armani Harris, a guy we called. He'll be a sophomore. So there are some hope for them, but boy, they're just very happy that this year's done.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you tell? How does that? Is it? You think it's coaching? You think it's more so personnel?
Well, it's the coach Abdul-Rahim's first season, so I think he hasn't gotten his people in.
Oh, okay.
And he's got to really recruit Georgia hard, and that's what looks like he was trying to do this season. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what he's got next year.
Right. Well, I want to touch on a very popular topic. You know, you don't have to look far and wide for this one, but Mr. Deontay Wilder, who has exercised, he's exercised his right to an immediate third fight with Tyson Fury.
Right.
Bob Arum went off and confirmed it with ESPN that as of right now, the fight is slated for July 18th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So will we see, you know, will Tyson Fury come in a bit overconfident? I mean, this man all but sexually molested this man in a ring last fight.
As long as Wilder comes in, as long as Wilder comes in looking like he got lost on his way to the set of The Masked Singer, I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, because you know, exactly. I mean, how do you not come in overly confident after winning a fight like that? I mean, do you come in as a fighter? Are you like, hey, I really embarrassed this man. Let me go off and call up Sugar Hill Stewart, which was Emmanuel Stewart's nephew.
Right.
Go back to Detroit. We're going to stay in the gutter. We're going to stay focused. You know, will Tyson Fury come out a little more chiseled than he did last time? You know, will Deontay Wilder, you know, because, you know, Deontay Wilder's no spring chicken. This man is 35 years old. He came in with a 42-0 record with that right hand landing all knockouts for him. So, you know, it's kind of hard to change a man's mind for something that's worked for him so often. I mean, though he may be a one-trick pony, that one trick has worked over 40 times.
It's a pretty good trick.
So, or does he go off and, you know, make adjustments?
Well, hopefully he'll make adjustments. I mean, you just can't get beat up like that and go out the very same way. He's got to get over the spectacle of himself and just get back to techniques.
Right. And will he come back about 215 pounds, his natural move around weight? And will he go off and come in a Dark Knight uniform again, look with rhinestones encrusted?
I mean, he looked ridiculous. like I said, he looked like he got lost going to the Masked Singer. I mean, he looked like he was in the wrong show. I mean, my God, he was gonna start singing Eye of the Tiger. I mean, come on. You don't look that dumb. Going and expect to do well.
I mean, you got to admit those rhinestones were reflecting off the lights, though. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he just looked ridiculous.
Yeah. For lack, you know, we're gonna keep politically correct over the air. But man, I mean, you don't come out looking like that and get done like that. I mean, my goodness. So, you know, but yeah, July 18th. It'll be the same location.
Yep, same venue.
Same venue. I'm pretty sure that, you know, financially, I'm pretty sure it will draw in a nice crowd.
It will.
So, you know, hopefully we see a more competitive fight. How the outcome is going to be, I don't know. You know, I you know, based on what we've seen for the last two fights, I have an idea what the outcome is going to be. But, you know, stranger things have happened. You know, we've seen Floyd Patterson bounce back from a heavyweight pummeling, you know, when he I forgot the gentleman that he fought in 1959 But, I mean.
I think it was Ingemar Johansson. I think that's who it was.
That's who it was, who just gave it. I mean, this man.
I think that's who it was.
He just beat the brakes off Floyd Patterson. I mean, knocked him down 7 times. But, you know, to Floyd Patterson's credit, he came back and beat this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, became the first heavyweight fighter to actually regain the heavyweight crown. Only to lose against Saint. Listen,
right.
But you know he did make history with that. You know he made history by becoming the youngest heavyweight the youngest fighter to win the heavyweight crown, and to become the first fighter to regain the heavyweight crown. So will Deontay Wilder, in a sense, channel some of that ancestral energy and translate that into a victory against Tyson Fury? I mean, we don't know.
No, we don't.
So.
No, we don't. All right. Daniel, you're up.
All right. So I want to give a hashtag salute, and I believe the people out there are wondering, like, why would you give a hashtag salute for this? But it goes to Tony Romo.
Oh.
It's going to go to Tony Romo.
Yep.
Yeah. So looking at this article here from the NFL Network, shout out to them, CBS and Romo have agreed to a multi-year contract worth approximately $17 million per season.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, $17 million. And this is according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, who is one of the best in the business as far as insider information goes. And sources have informed him of the deal. The New York Post was the first to report this news. Now, also according to the network, with Romo's rookie deal set to expire, CBS avoided a potential bidding war with the most coveted football broadcast by making him the highest paid ever. Yes. Even higher than John Madden. And John Madden has been on this earth around this time. So, in fact, his new contract is worth about twice as much as the reported high of $8 million for John Madden.
Right.
And I think this is when Madden was over in NBC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that
The former, yeah, that had to be that one. Listen, this is what I think of it. Tony, you earned it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he really did. He's been the best color commentator in the business. And listen, he was criticized his first year, but that was his first year.
Right.
But man, it don't make it no better that you team up with perhaps the best play-by-play guy in the business as well.
Yes.
Jim Nance.
Yeah, Jim Nance makes anybody look good. He make us look good.
Mm-hmm. He can make me look good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And you look at that. That is you figure. I'm just doing that. That is going to translate to around $900,000 a game, because he's got 17. He's got the Super Bowl, and he's got a random.
Yeah. When it comes back around to him,
and CBS has got it this year. So he's got that. He's got, say, 2 playoff games, the Super Bowl, and a random.
No, NBC has got it this year.
No, you're wrong. CBS has it this year. For the 2021 season, CBS has got it.
Wow.
Because I work for a CBS subcontractor, and they're already getting nervous.
Wow. About what? Wow. Nervous.
Well,
so that's weird.
My joke.
CBS had it the year before.
Yeah, CBS had, but it's a quirk. It's a little quirk in the system. But CBS does have Super Bowl 50. What I mean is. Nervous in the terms of like my joke. You remember last year when I was telling you guys it's literally our Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be the same mm-hmm. thing. It's literally our Super Bowl.
I wonder where the Super Bowl going to be at this year.
Tampa.
Oh, they're keeping it in a nice warm weather state.
Yes, it's going to be the first time ever that the Super Bowl has been back to back in the same state.
Yeah, shout out to Florida for getting that for getting the economy restarted.
Yeah. The game will be televised nationally on CBS on February 7th, 2021 in Raymond James Stadium. And so Romo, and I said one random exhibition game. So Romo's going to get about $900,000 a telecast this season.
That's interesting. Is he that good?
Well, yes, because ESPN was prepared to break the bank for him.
Tony Romo.
ESPN was going to just give him everything to get him to go on Monday Night Football, because they're not too thrilled with Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland. And Booger McFarland is a huge upgrade over Jason Witten, don't get us wrong. Don't get me wrong on that. The ESPN booth is getting a little better, but ESPN wants that name brought, that name in the booth to call the games to really make them events.
So you think Tony Romo will make it to the Hall of Fame?
And while Joe Tessitore has a great voice,
right?
They look at him more so on the college football realm and on the boxing, because can't nobody really call a boxing match now that Jim Lampley.
Well, the thing with Joe Tessitore is he's got to get – it's hard to take him seriously as a broadcaster when he's with Rob Diggle doing Holy Moly. I'm so – you know, I just can't have my Monday Night Football main voice sharing a broadcast booth with Rob Diggle. I just can't – Rob Riggle. I just can't get that out of my mind.
So, will Tony Romo more than likely make the Hall of Fame as a – quarterback or as a commentator?
Commentator. We had this debate last week. He's gonna be if he gets in, it'll be as a commentator, no question. All right, well, that's gonna wrap us up here for the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. The New Orleans Pelicans and the LA Lakers are moments from tipping off, so we want to set aside things and talk and watch that ball game. We'll be back next week. A lot of things to talk about, including the Georgia High School Basketball Championships down at Macon. They'll be in the books. We'll talk about that and which players from the Peach State you'll be seeing on college hardwoods the next fall. So please, thank you so much for listening to us. Rate us. Give us 5 stars. I'm John Morgan alongside Daniel Bolton and Leon Brown. We are the Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast, and we will avoid the coronavirus and be with you next week. So
kudos to Tony Romo for breaking the bank.
Yep. We'll see you next week. Have a good evening, everybody.